me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, what's poppin', konnichiwa, and all that shit. ¿Cómo estamos? Yeah, I usually hit the air horn right after that. Let me find how I say it. I just bug it out. I gotta have an air horn, otherwise shit ain't official. You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio. I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez. And we're here in beautiful downtown shitty gritty Los Angeles, California. And it's the day after tax day. It's April 16th. Did you do your motherfucking taxes yet? You better have. Anyway, we have a good friend of mine who happens to be an accountant. I'm going to introduce my man, Phil, P.K. Hammond, or P.K. Hammond, who's Phil, or we just introduce him as Fred.
Yeah.
Just in case he
PK
wants to.
PK is good.
Just in case he says something fucked up about somebody
right.
or something that's illegal or incriminating, we'll just call him Phil. I mean, P.K. Yeah. Why do I keep fucking up? Never mind. Can we cut that out? No. Hey, we have a good friend of mine who's also an accountant. So if you're listening live, call 1-800-893-9562. If you have any questions, we're going to be taking some questions towards the end of the show. And if not, you could always email me at nestorius@yahoo.com, and I'll answer them for you somehow. So what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. Yeah.
You're good? How was this year's tax season?
This tax season was hard. I fell down some stairs and was kind of tired at the end of tax season. It was a hard tax season, but it's good.
You fell down some stairs carrying a bunch of tax law books and
old
shit?
Old guy falls downstairs. Just good time for all.
I know. Welcome to fucking, welcome to the second part of your life.
Right, right.
Proctology.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hernia. Unbelievable. Falling down the stairs. I just came back from the doctor. I have a natal hernia that I got to take care of. Yeah, your belly button right underneath it, like a bulb pops out, and the guy says, "Well, what usually happens is that there's a tear in the abdominal wall, and and your intestines may pop out, and you know, basically the wall holds everything that's in your stomach. But in my case, he said there's just like a nice layer of fat." That's popping right. out of the hole.
So they're going to cut you for that, though, right?
He's got a fucking cut right, under the right, belly button.
Right.
Put a mesh and put the fat back in. I'm
right.
like, could you cut some of the fat off?
Yeah.
At least? Anyway, so that's the joys of getting older, falling down. At least you didn't break anything, right?
I did. I fractured my toe.
Oh, you did?
I'm wearing a boot.
Your toe. That's what, but you can't fix a fractured toe.
You just put a boot on it and hang out.
And prevent anything from hitting it again.
Put a boot on it and sit at the beach.
And it heals? Interesting. So I know every tax year, you're like fucking, like you're all over the place. And I mean, your head's
right.
ready to explode. But this year, you seemed a little bit more like calm.
I had a plan. I took one day a week off.
Yeah.
You know, kept everything under.
Yeah.
Went to New Orleans in the middle of tax season.
Now, how did that happen? Explain that.
I got a new client who had 12 partnership returns, and he wanted to meet me, and I went to New Orleans.
So he paid for your trip to New Orleans?
No, I paid for my trip to New
Orleans. You paid for your trip to New Orleans?
Yeah, it worked out.
That's bullshit, you know? Man. But you get to write it off because you went there for business.
You know, I'm going to write off part of that plane ticket, but I don't get to write off most of that trip.
Why not?
Because I mostly had fun. I had a meeting with a guy in New Orleans. But mostly I had fun.
So okay. Perfect. Perfect segue common misconception of tax write-offs. Okay. So you went to New Orleans technically on business, right? And you had a meeting with him.
I had one lunch
meeting.
With him.
One lunch. So you can write off part of it? Like, what's part of it?
I'm going to write off that lunch. I'm going to kind of look and figure it out, but I'm not going to write off a trip to New Orleans. I'm not going to write off any hotel.
No.
I'm not going to screw around at all, you know?
Why?
You know, just because I don't want to be the guy that gets caught screwing around. It's just so easy to do stuff right with the IRS.
Right.
And it's such a pain when you do stuff wrong. You know, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that auditing.
One of the things. The trips. I went on a trip. I had a guy who I took him through an audit.
Right.
He did a trip to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote it off on his tax return, mm-hmm. and he got audited.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why would you write off a trip to Costa Rica?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I went down with my girlfriend, and we were going to look at some investment property.
Uh-huh.
So I said, well, just show me the investment property looked at. I didn't look at any investment property, you know?
Right.
And so he's trying to write that off. And the auditors are very nice.
I know, I've been
audited. They want their money, right. but they're nice, you know? I mean, they didn't...
Well, there's room...
He misunderstood.
Well, there's room for explanation,
right? But we paid that money back.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Right.
So instead of the, you know, his gross being, you know, $500 less because of the write-off of that trip, you had to add that $500 back to the gross and pay taxes on the difference.
And here's the thing. If I went to, well, Memphis is probably a fun city, but if I went to Salt Lake City, I would have wrote that whole trip off.
Right.
But if I'm going to New Orleans or Las Vegas,
okay.
if anyone's going
so
to New Orleans or Las Vegas, they're flags right there.
But who's to know that you're going to New Orleans? I mean, when you itemize deductions, right, on trips, right? For instance, I travel a lot for business, right? So I don't itemize every individual trip that I go. I guess it's not personal.
No, you
right?
just put down travel.
Travel.
But hopefully your accountant asks you, did you really go there for business?
Well, I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, the burden of proof always goes to the client, myself, right? So I'm the one that's going to go to jail, or I'm the one that's going to have to pay the money, not the accountant.
You're not going to jail. I'm not going to. I could go to jail because I'm a CPA, but neither of us are going to jail. Wesley Snipes is going to jail.
Okay, there's five different things going on because I wanted to know why Wesley Snipes. So you're right. I'm not going to jail.
Right.
Because I pay my taxes.
But even if you didn't pay your taxes, you would pay a penalty.
Right.
I mean, unless you did something crazy.
Right.
Most of us aren't going to jail.
Right.
We're going to pay a big penalty. Our lives are going to be ruined.
Right. Ruined.
You know, we're going to pay taxes forever. But they're not putting the average guy in jail for some dumb thing like the guy who went to Costa Rica should not have deducted.
Yeah, but your life's not going to be ruined. Basically, by the time they catch it, it'll be 2 or 3 years later or a year or two later, whatever. So the IRS is going to penalize you and it's going to charge you interest from the day that they thought.
Right. So it's going to double.
Double, maybe even triple,
maybe,
depending
maybe
on the
some
money.
Deductions that are legitimate you're just going to give up because you're going to have to pay me a lot of money to mm-hmm. fight this, so mm-hmm. you don't want to fight it, so we're just going to give them something.
Right.
So,
who is to say that you didn't go to New Orleans, right, for business? Because here's the deal, right? You had to have a hotel room, right, in New Orleans in order to have this business. So legitimately, you could write off the hotel room. That's not even a stretch of the imagination,
right.
Okay? Legitimately, you can write the whole fucking flight to and from because you couldn't walk there and you couldn't walk back home. You flew there specifically to have a business trip with this guy, right? You could write off your fucking expenses of traveling from LA to New Orleans, right? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? At least for that night, right?
And I would do that if I went to New Orleans strictly for business.
Right.
And if I went to New Orleans for business and went out and had a good time at night, I would still do that.
Right. But if I went to have one lunch with a guy,
I'm going to know. I don't want to be walking around. You know,
okay.
Before I did taxes, I was a controller for a company.
Right.
And I went into a guy who did my tax return. I had donated a computer to a place that needed a computer.
Right.
And they gave me a $400 donation for that.
Right.
So I was taking $400. It's a deduction.
Right.
A $400 deduction.
Right. A charitable.
The guy that I went
deduction.
To said computers are worth $4,000, and he changed it to $4,000. Now I'm looking at this, and I owed a little bit of money. Instead, I'm getting a $1,000 refund. I kind of like that.
Right.
But I went back the next day and said, no, dummy, we can't do this. You know, I wasn't doing taxes yet.
So the guy who did your taxes put that it was
$4,000? The guy who did change it decided to change it to $4,000.
Right.
Now, I would have known that. I wouldn't have slept. And the people I know who do dumb stuff on their taxes, they don't keep that money. I wouldn't have kept that $1,000 if I was the type of guy who was going to get a scam over. You know,
What do you mean you don't keep that money? I got lost.
That if your mentality is I'm going to steal $1,000 from the biggest dog on the planet, the IRS,
mm-hmm.
that you are not going to put that money into savings and have a good productive life with that money, that
right.
you're just going to blow it on something. I
right.
know people that I won't do their tax returns that do dumb stuff with
Got
money.
It. Got it.
And
I understand.
And their life is not a great life. You know.
I understand.
You know,
I understand.
They drive nice cars.
I get it. So you're saying consciously you the client and the accountant, you, it's not worth it to you to like write off the whole trip because you know that you were there 5 days and four of those days you were just hanging out.
I was there 2 days and I had a lunch. But so yeah, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to make a decision at the end of the year.
You're extremely conservative as an accountant, I got to tell you.
I'm pretty conservative.
Here's my philosophy. Yeah. Here's my philosophy on the IRS and paying taxes in this country. From a business owner, a small business owner, and an employee, right? I work for myself. Here's my thing. I'd rather have the IRS come to me and say, and this is just me. I know I'm a street mentality all the way, but this is how I feel. I'd rather keep my money, right? And I'd rather have the IRS say to me, excuse me, I gave you a $20 bill and you only gave me $9 back. You owe me $3. Fuck you. The burden of proof should be on them. It shouldn't be on me, right? As long as I know what the tax laws are, meaning I know what the room is, and I'm not trying to take $5 million worth on that two-day vacation. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, your taxes aren't gray. Your taxes are probably mostly black and white. There's some gray areas. My taxes aren't really that gray. There's some... I mean, there are areas that are gray.
As a small business owner, you mean?
As a small business owner, you kind of know whether that's a legitimate deduction.
Right. I mean, and the burden of proof is on you. Either you have a massive quantity of receipts like I do, and I have written down what the fucking expense was
for. I'm not sure that the burden of proof is on you, but the expense, if you're a small business owner, you can't afford to go through, you know, the audit. And, you know, if you're a very small business owner, you're a, you know, less than $100,000 a year small business owner.
Right.
The expense of an audit is you're just going to lose anyway. I mean, you're going to lose paying the CPA. You're going to lose paying the IRS.
Check it out. I got audited. I think 2 years ago in New York. My bookkeeper says, let me look at the year. You know what? I think it's this $60,000 that for some reason it was in the books this year. And for some reason, it's written over here, but you don't know where it came from. Some weird shit like this. Now, the guy who was doing our taxes in New York, he's not a CPA, right? So I talked to him and he's like, I don't know what it is. Let's just go. Because they didn't say, look, we're missing $60,000. We want to know where it is. They just said, hi, welcome to the IRS. We'd like to give you a tour of our 42nd Street facility, right?
Right.
I show up, I go there, I got this Asian woman. And, you know, of course, it's very, you know, you're in a room. But I wasn't afraid, to be honest with you, because I had records of every fucking thing that they were asking me for, right? They asked.
And you knew at that point where the $60,000 came from.
I did not.
Okay.
But I didn't know that's what they were auditing me for. In the back of my mind, I knew that, okay, if that's what it is, all right, then my bookkeeper is right. I think it was just a general audit, right? But the $60,000 came up, right? What happened to that $60,000? And the truth of the matter is, I can't remember the specific example of or the specific scenario, but it was basically, it was money that we deposited it, and then it was just some shit did that my accountant did. Yeah, in his filing, it was a fuck up on his error. It was an error on his end. I didn't know what it was because I'm giving him bank statements. I'm giving him the pluses and minuses, right, as I'm going along. I keep good records, right? I mean, I'm pretty much the CFO of my small business, right? So I pay all the bills. You know, everything is itemized. I know, listen, you can't be writing this off or you can be writing that off. I mean, if you have a production office and you buy, you know, office furnishings, if it's for the production office, you can write off your office furnishings, right?
Right.
It's that simple. The IRS can't say to you, well, you didn't need that cabinet. That cost $500.
And they wouldn't say that to you.
They won't.
Yeah.
They won't say it. They won't say it. I went in there with Amex receipts, Amex statements, because I charge everything through a business card. She goes through every single thing. What is this? Grocery stores? You know, you can't just write off grocery stores. I said, I'm not. Let's say one of the actors in one of our productions needs some milk for the coffee. We got to go get milk for the coffee. Let's say, you know, I need to buy, you know, craft services. That you buy it at Ralph's. As long as you have, and let me tell you something. This is after my accountant left the room. He didn't want to come back, right? We basically, I went back. Oh, no, it was ridiculous. Basically, he And I were in the room with her, and she started asking us all these questions. And then he started getting all huffy and puffy. I said, this fucking guy is going to get me in trouble. So he goes, we're going to break for lunch. I'm going to go through this stuff. And then you just come back and let me show me something. I don't know the specifics of the whole thing. It was so, you know, after I left there, that's when I'm freaking the fuck out. Because right. I didn't know where that fucking money went. Because it turned out that she goes, well, I see $60,000 here, blah, blah, blah. And basically, it was credited the next year. It was something like it was deducted on 1 year, credit right. on the other. It wasn't done right.
Right.
1 + 1 did not equal 2 from, you know, the end of 1 year to the beginning of the year. And my fiscal year ends October 31st. So it goes from like November 1st to October 31st. It's kind of fucked up, right? Because they're auditing you for the year 2014. My 2014 starts in 2013. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of whacked out half the time. Point is that I come back after lunch, and she's asking me, she's going through all Amex receipts. You got charges to Tiffany's or this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, I know this $25 deduction maximum for a business gift. That's all taken care of. I'm not charging every single.
Right.
So the thing was, she knew that there wasn't anything that she could have gone through every single right. thing there. And she just said, all right. You know, I'm not going to go through all this stuff. Okay. Just, you know what I want you to do? Get me the bank statements that'll back up where that $60,000 right. is and we'll be good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Very nice.
Very nice.
Right.
The problem is I come back to LA and this motherfucker still doesn't know where the 60 went. And my old bookkeeper, all they do is go from, you know, last year end books and this year end books and try to figure out what he did and how. Anyway, it was a fucking mess. And she kept calling me, Mr. Rodriguez, you need to come call me back. And after a certain right. point, I called her back and then she's asking me all the shit. After this, the next time she called, I wasn't going to return her call. I was just basically going to say, listen, I got to get a tax lawyer. I don't know what the fuck you want. My accountant doesn't know what's going on. So at this point, I don't know what to tell you. Worst case scenario is you got to charge me tax on that $60,000. That would have been the worst case scenario.
Right.
Plus penalties and interest, right? That's it. I don't know what to tell you. The way it works, she says to me, Mr. Rodriguez, I'm just going to close the case. It's okay, whatever. And I don't know how that happened or whatever, but that's what happened to me. You know what I mean? It was just...
Well, so that's the case of the IRS or her being tired, but still, have an extra $60,000 of income and they didn't act like... And the IRS is nice. And the IRS is pretty easy to deal with.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
I did. I swear to God. I came out of that. It was stressful, right? Because I didn't have an answer for that. I didn't do it. You know right. what I mean? From that point forward to today, I know exactly what everything
right,
is.
Right.
You ask me anything about everything because I'm more hands-on now.
Yeah.
You know
you
what I mean?
You got to get a good bookkeeper. You should know where your money is. Yeah. Someone should know where your money is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes you give your stuff to a bookkeeper to come in and you don't know what the fuck they're doing. You still have to know what they're categorizing, how they're categorizing it. You know, what is this? You know what I mean? I give everything to the bookkeeper. I know what's going on. So I know what the expenses are. The worst case scenario right. that could happen to me is that IRS calls me in and says, you can't deduct that. You this is not deductible 100%.
Right.
And then I go, oh, okay. So what does that mean? I owe you money? All right. And you pay it.
Right.
That's it. So going back to Wesley Snipes, why does Wesley Snipes have to go to jail?
So this is my opinion. This might be a lie. But Wesley Snipes accountants come up with a plan. Wesley Snipes did not come up with this plan.
Right. Okay.
And they tell Wesley Snipes, hey, you don't have to pay taxes.
Because he's
because
black
blah,
and he
blah,
was
blah,
in
blah,
the,
blah.
And he was not, in the Matrix movies?
No, because we got a great plan.
He wasn't
we're
in
so
the Matrix
smart.
Movies, right?
He was not in the Matrix movies. We're so smart that you don't have to pay taxes. And Wesley Snipes says, great. And Wesley Snipes is the one in jail. Those accountants are not in jail.
So wait a minute. Do you really think that Wesley Snipes has nothing to do with this? Like Wesley Snipes said, oh, okay, I don't have to pay taxes. All right, no problem.
So no, if they were all in jail, I'd be perfectly okay with that. Or if none of them were in jail.
But
Snipes has got an equal amount. He doesn't have a greater amount to do with this.
He doesn't have a greater amount to do
he
with it?
He doesn't know the tax law. He's trusting somebody else. If you did that, you got the podcast, but if you did that and nobody knew who you were, you wouldn't go to jail. Mm-hmm. But the IRS wants to make sure people don't do dumb stuff like that. And putting Wesley Snipes in jail helps that.
But then you have Lauryn Hill from the Fugees. The same thing happened to her a couple years ago. She was animate about the fact that she didn't need to pay taxes. Okay?
So, wait, what did she do? Did she do the taxes are illegal thing? Or what did she do?
I don't know what the fuck she did. But I mean, if you're in this country and you want to pull that taxes are illegal bullshit, you're smoking the wrong crack.
Well, that's not what Wesley Snipes did. Wesley Snipes did something where the taxes, you know, it was something that was a legal plan, looked like a legal plan. It was not a legal
plan. But why did he go to jail then? Why doesn't he say,
because it was not a legal plan, but he thought it was a legal plan. Okay. He went and paid some, you know, if you pay some idiot to tell you that taxes are illegal,
right,
then you're kind of a fool. But Wesley Snipes paid CPAs who knew what they were doing, maybe attorneys.
To play a shell game with his
numbers. To play some kind of game.
Okay, so then.
So he's going to jail. I mean, I'm not horrible. But the CPA should have probably gone to jail, too.
Okay, but I'm saying. So Wesley Snipes didn't know what was going on, which I personally, I don't buy that. Because I know what the fuck's going on. If you don't know what's going on with your finances, if you don't know what's going on with your, you know, legalities in your life, I mean, I don't understand how you don't know.
People don't know.
I don't understand. Right. I don't understand how Wesley Snipes wouldn't know. That's just me. With that said, okay, if Wesley Snipes, for argument's sake, is just doing what his CPAs are telling him, then okay, he made a mistake. Why can't he just pay whatever he owes the government and not have to go to jail? Why does he go to jail?
Because the mistake was big enough that it was fraud. Now, I'm not expert
on... What constitutes fraud? I mean, a mistake's a mistake.
So I should know that, but I don't know that. But you can Google what constitutes fraud, you know, what constitutes tax fraud. And that's what Wesley Snipes
did. Isn't it knowingly doing something that, like I know?
No,
that
there's dollar amounts too. Oh, so if I went and took a trip to New Orleans and had a good time and wrote it off, that would probably not constitute fraud.
Got it.
I don't think that anyone would. That might constitute fraud, but nobody would.
Talking about fraud, we talked about this last episode and a couple episodes before that. Do you know what happened with the Church of Scientology losing their tax-exempt credit back in 19...
I don't know that.
You don't know anything about that? So, like, 1967, after a couple of years of L. Ron Hubbard founding the Church of Scientology, he applies for a religious exemption, and the government grants it to him. About, I don't know, 3 years later, 2 years later, the IRS says, the church is actually making money for your own personal use, and it's not a tax. You're not a religion. And since 1967 to 1993, they have one of the longest fucking battles, the Church of Scientology against the IRS. 1993, the IRS concedes and says, okay, no problem. You're a church. They don't even have to pay fucking back taxes from 67. And it's this big, ambiguous thing. You don't know nothing about this?
No.
I'll send you some information.
Right.
That's another story.
Right, that's
very
story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think you would love it.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, so are you from California? You were
yes,
born here?
Always in L.A.
So
yeah.
Why not an actor? Why an accountant?
Honestly, I would hate to be an actor. There were actors working outside of my office. I was working on Sunday. And they were shooting at my office. And just someone telling me what to do all day long, I don't see how anyone would enjoy being an actor.
Got it.
Someone yelling, no, move there, move there, move there.
Acting yeah. is... I just had to ask you, so how long have you been an accountant?
I have been a CPA since 2009.
And before
that,
you
were a controller. And I've been a controller of a company since the late 90s.
What kind of company was it?
So it was a film company that didn't do great, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
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 You're in California, film companies.
Right. We were all going to be rich. We were all going to be millionaires before we turned 40.
Film is a rough business.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So then we were talking about this big misconception of people thinking that taxes are illegal, right? So where does that misconception come from? Like,
it really, there's so many scams out there for how am I going to trick somebody out of money? And one of them is taxes are illegal. You shouldn't know taxes. And everybody feels like, oh, I shouldn't know taxes. Mm-hmm. And if we could just get people to feel like taxes are great. I mean, taxes are an awesome thing. I pay, you know, I don't pay enough taxes to pay for a school teacher. I don't pay enough taxes to pay for a policeman or a fireman. But I get a school teacher, a policeman, or a fireman.
You have kids?
I don't have any kids.
So why should
but
you
my
pay?
My neighbors
on,
have kids, and I don't want their kids running around all day.
Why
They're
should
in school.
I have to pay taxes for a school when I don't have kids?
Because if you had kids running around stealing shit, they wouldn't be stealing it from their parents, they'd be stealing it from you. You're benefiting more than the parents are from the school.
So you're saying this is an argument that now, mind you, this, I'm going to sound like a Republican and a right-wing cocksucker, right?
Right, right.
And I'm neither a left-wing liberal, right?
Right.
I just don't understand the philosophies a lot of times, right? So your argument is that, well, if you don't pay taxes to pay a teacher so that kids go to a decent school, those kids are going to grow up to be thugs and they're going to rip you off.
Or they're going to be just kids. I mean, when I was a 16-year-old kid, I was a jackass. They're going to just be kids. I'd rather have the kids be in school. I'd like to have the kids grow up and go to college and buy my house from me at a higher price.
Me too.
So I would like to help that next generation do great so I can sell everything that I've earned and I can live a nice retirement.
Me too. But you know that's bullshit because the fucking educational system in this country is worth cock. Okay, so you know that just based on that, it's bullshit. It doesn't work. You know why people grow up paying, doing better in this country? Because they go to private schools, they go to Ivy League schools. If you go in a public school, the statistics are maybe 3 out of fucking 10 might do something. You know what I'm saying?
3 out of 10 is good. 3 out of 10 is not bad. We got 3 out of 10 being engineers and doctors.
That's true.
And then we have a system where the other 7, once they get 25 and puberty isn't ravaging them anymore, that they can go back and learn how to be a mechanic or be a plumber or be something else and make some money there. I mean, that's not bad. If 3 out of 10 are awesome,
but no one's
teaching, and the rest of them are all just kind of doing all right.
No one's teaching anybody how to be a mechanic or a plumber or an electrician. That's something that trade unions had to do, and then the unions get fucking squashed. It's just...
I don't know, but I bet you the community colleges or the tech colleges that are sponsored by LA teach people how to be all that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
I guess there are technical colleges.
And just
Technical Career Institute.
To get my main thing across. So if you do not have a bachelor's degree and you spend $1,000 on going to an accredited college, you will get that $1,000 back. If you spend $500 on classes and $500 on books and you don't owe any taxes, you can file a tax return and get $1,000 back for going to college. And that's an Obama thing. It might be gone in 2 years.
By the way, this is a P.K. Hammond tip.
This is the first of the tips I want to make sure we get.
I just heard this on the way up, but I think I just heard even better. So basically, let me break it down to you and y'all what the fuck is up talk, okay? Yeah. Basically, you're not worth shit. You haven't earned any money, but let's say you did earn some money. You didn't earn enough money to pay taxes. At the end of the year, you don't owe any taxes, but like a good street kid you are, you applied to school. And you spent $500 on tuition and $500 in books. Fill out a tax return. Guess what's going to happen? The government, the good old US of A, is going to take my fucking tax dollars and is going to put it in your fucking pocket. They're going to give you $1,000 check. That's called a tax credit.
Right. And that's a refundable tax credit.
Refundable.
That means, so normal tax, most tax credits.
I can give it to you. If it doesn't work, you can return it back and get your money back twice.
So if you owe no taxes, you still get the refund.
Right.
So most tax credits
are applied to taxes you owe.
And if you don't owe any taxes, that's it.
Got it. So just to clarify, I know a lot of you guys have kids out there, whatever. So like PK said, most tax credits are, for lack of a better way, a write-off.
Refundable. They're not refundable.
Right. You're not going to get money back. They're just written off whatever taxes you owe. So if you owe $5,000, that $1,000 tax credit would be written off against your $5,000 tax liability, you just owe $4,000.
Right. And most people end up owing taxes no matter what anyway, so.
Right. Well, that's a good thing.
But that's the thing, if you wouldn't know about, you might not think, hey, I'm not going to file a tax return. If you're in school, file a tax return.
Right. So I was looking at the history of the income tax. So 1916, Congress readopts the income tax. Because I think there was an income tax like in the late 1800s or some shit. Let me see. It was like pre-16th Amendment. In order to help pay for its war effort in the American Civil War, Congress imposed its first personal income tax in 1861. It was part of the Revenue Act of 1861, right? 3% of all incomes over $800. It was rescinded in 1872. That means no more income tax. Congress also enacted the Revenue Act of 1862, which levied a 3% tax on incomes above $600, which is rising to 5% for incomes above $10,000. Rates were raised in 1864. And this income tax was repealed in 1872. So there was a lot of, you know, personal income tax here and there, but it wasn't a lot. It wasn't until 1916 that the Supreme... Hold on a second. Where the hell was that? That's a pre-16th Amendment. Oh, give me a second. Okay. The Congress readopted the income tax in 1916, development of the modern income tax. So it began in 1916, levying a 1% tax on net personal incomes above $3,000. That means that if you had a plus $3,000 of money in your pocket at the end of the year, you had to pay 1%. What,
$30?
$30, yeah. $30. With a 6% surtax on incomes above $500,000. Okay, so if you were poor, I'm assuming $3,000 was kind of like your living. It was 1%. And if you have to pay 1% no matter what, but an additional 6% if your income was over $500,000. So you pay 7%. By 1918, the top rate of the income tax was increased to 77%. This is 1918. So technically 2 years later, on income over $1 million to finance World War One. Okay, now it goes into marginal, what the hell is it? It goes
marginal
into,
tax bracket.
It goes effective, marginal, and nominal. And I'm like, could you speak regular jerk-off talk?
So here's marginal. Here's marginal, because that's what we're all getting taxed at.
Marginal.
So if your marginal rate's probably 25%, that means that the next buck you earn is going to be 25%. So if you, say you take money out of your IRA.
Right.
And, you've made 100 grand, you take 10 grand out of your IRA, then you think, oh, I'm at the 25% marginal rate. Now, the first 100 grand, I've only paid maybe 18 grand, 17 grand in taxes.
But
This is taxes. This is not pre anything. Okay. I made 100 grand. My adjusted gross income is 100 grand. I paid 17 or 18 grand in taxes. I'm probably not right, but close to right.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm gonna make 10 more grand because I took some money out of my IRA. So theoretically, I would pay 25% taxes, so $2,500.
Okay.
But there's a penalty, so I'm going to pay an extra...
Because you removed the IRA.
Because you took it out of an IRA. Yeah, so now I'm going to pay an extra $1,000, so $3,500. I'm going to pay 14% of the state, and then I'm going to lose a bunch of credits. So I'm going to probably pay $6,000 on that $10,000.
Okay.
But theoretically, my marginal rate is... Okay. $2,500.
So 1918, the top rate of the income tax was increased to 77% on income over $1 million to finance World War One. This is basically what the government was doing, right? To finance the American what was it? Let me see something. To finance the American Civil War was the first time you see it, and then you see it again to finance World War One. Now the top marginal tax rate was reduced to 58% in 1922, to 25% in 1925, and finally to 24% in 1929. In 1932, the top marginal tax rate was increased to 63% during the Great Depression and steadily increased, right? And during World War II, during World War II, Congress introduced payroll withholding and quarterly tax payments in pursuit of equality rather than revenue. President Franklin D. Roosevelt proposed a 100% tax on all incomes over $25,000. Okay, so here's my other question. Why should the burden of paying more tax go to people who have more money? Why is that fair?
Because they get more stuff, really. If my neighbor has a $1 million house and I have a $200,000 house, he should pay more for firemen.
Why?
If my house burns down...
Why?
I'm losing 200 grand. If his house burns down, he's losing $1 million.
If your neighbor has a $1 million house and he stole that $1 million to have that house, then I say, yeah. But if you're in a capitalistic society, right? You work hard, right? That's the American dream. You work hard, you succeed more, right? So why is it that if you work hard and you succeed more, you're penalized by having to pay more taxes?
You're not penalized. He's getting more help from the fire department. He's getting $1 million worth of insurance. If I got $1 million $1,000 worth of life insurance and you got $200,000 of life insurance, you can bet my life insurance would cost more.
He's not getting more help from the fire department.
He's getting help on a $1 million house.
No. He's getting more help because he's paying a higher premium to insure his house for $1 million.
The fire department comes and puts out the house. They're putting out a fire on a $1 million house.
A fire on a $1 million house. Okay, you're saying that a fire on a $1 million house would cost more money because you would need more.
That if his house burns down, he's out $1 million. And if my house burns down, I'm out $200,000. And if I live in an apartment and my apartment burns down, I move next door.
But hold on. No, let me go back. If the $1 million house, you're saying it gets burnt down, you're going to need more firefighters to turn it off? That's why he should pay more taxes?
No. I'm saying because his house is worth more, he should pay more taxes.
He's not going to get any more money for his house unless it's insured for that. He's paying for it. You're not paying for it. My house is insured because I pay insurance, not the tax dollars.
Let's say we all lived in a village, and we all live in huts, and one guy's got an awesome house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for that guy's fireman.
You're not paying for anybody's firemen. All firemen, unless you can justify that you needed 18 firemen to fucking take his fucking 18 firemen to put out that guy's house, and you only need 2 firemen, then I can see you justifying why he should pay more money. But the truth of the matter is, I just think it's preposterous that, you know, that somebody who makes more money in this country is held accountable to take.
Well, in every country, not just this. I mean, less accountable in this country than any place in Europe who's doing better than us economically.
But in Europe, everyone's got free fucking education, free health care. So I mean, if you're paying, 75% of your fucking, if you're paying 77% on tax on your income over $1 million, then, in Europe, that means that everyone's paying 77%. And everyone's got free health care.
And they're not paying 77%.
I'm just saying. I'm saying if that's the case, right?
You're living in Paris and you're living in L.A., your taxes are probably pretty close because you got California tax and you got taxes in Paris.
Right. But
so
in
if
Europe,
you're a doctor living in L.A. or Paris, you're pretty even.
But in Europe, you're getting free health care. You're getting free education. This is my problem here, right? So everything in this country is independently and individually taxed, okay? Which I have a problem with it, right? So let's go into this, right? So you get paid $1. Of that dollar, when you said marginally taxed, you're going to get charged, 25%?
25 cents.
25 cents. So that means you take home 75 cents. That's post-tax dollars.
But you could take home less than that because California wants 9 cents.
Okay, so you take home 65%, 65 cents, okay? And that 65 cents now, you got to pay your Con Ed bill. You get taxed on that. You got to pay your phone bill. You get taxed on that. In those taxes, they're broken down to FCC surcharges. So that 25 cents that you got taxed, shouldn't that 25 cent take care of all of the necessities that we need to operate?
So I might agree with you that maybe we're not spending the money right, but the states, the countries that don't have income tax are poor countries that you don't want to live in. The countries that have higher income tax rates than us are pretty awesome countries to live in.
Right.
Income tax is not a bad thing. Taxing the rich more is not a bad thing. What? When Reagan came into office, it was 70% tax rate on the rich. And that'll get me to be a Republican.
Whoa, wait a minute.
And he lowered it to 50%.
I have all of the statistics.
Tell me.
About when hold on a second. I'll get that in a minute, right here. Give me one second, Papa.
I'm Googling this. 1980 tax rates. Everyone at home, Google 1980 tax rates. I could be wrong.
I have it. I have it here. History of the tax. Here we go. Okay. October 22nd, 1986, President Reagan signed into law the Tax Reform Act of 1986.
So I'm talking about 1980.
Right. Right, but hold on a second. One of the most far-reaching reforms of the U.S. tax system since the adoption of the income tax law. The top tax rate on individual income was lowered from 50% to 28%. So that means back then everyone paid 50%?
No, the top rate.
Oh, the top rate. Yeah. Okay. All right.
If you're not making any money, we have a 10% rate, a 15% rate, 25%,
28%. The lowest it had been since 1916. Tax preferences were eliminated to make up most of the revenue in an attempt to remain revenue neutral. The act called for a $120 billion increase in business taxation and a corresponding decrease in individual taxation over a tax over a five-year period.
So that's his second thing. His first thing is in 1982. And
1981.
Okay.
Congress enacted the largest tax cut in U.S. history, approximately $750 billion over 6 years. The tax reduction, however, was partially offset by two tax acts in 1982 and 1984 that attempted to raise approximately $265 billion. I mean, I get all that stuff, right? But you're saying that the countries that are taxed more are pretty great countries to live in, right? This is a fucking pretty great country to live in. This
and we're taxed more than the countries that are less great countries to live in. I mean, communist countries, I'm not saying tax somebody 75%.
But why do we got to compare ourselves to countries that are not great countries to live in, right? Here's the thing. I came back from Cuba, right? I didn't see one homeless person in Cuba, okay?
Right, right.
And neither will you,
right?
Okay? I didn't see one person begging for money, okay? People will ask to do something for you or to see if they can get something for you or do, you know, but that no one, I didn't see anybody flat out say, do you have an extra dollar or something like that? You follow?
Right.
So this is a great country to live in.
Right.
So if I'm paying 25 cents on that dollar, why isn't that 25 cents covering all of our necessities?
So then you have to look at what the money's being spent on. And that's why you have to figure out.
But, and what's
but
the
that
money
25
being spent
cents
on?
That you're paying is not a bad deal.
No,
so you're
it
getting,
isn't.
You're probably not getting teachers for that. You're getting teachers for the 9 cents you're paying to California. But
right.
You're right.
But hold on. So that's 9 cents local tax. But now I'm saying, so you got 65 cents. You're paying Con Edison or your Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. You're paying your cell phone bill. You pump up the gas. Now, the gas has a 30 cents, if not more, a cent per
which
gallon.
Which Reagan did in 1986.
Right. Per cent per gallon. Where does that money go to? To help offset the infrastructural maintenance.
Right.
Why do you have to separate after you paid your tax on your dollar, right? Why you now have to subsidize individual sections of our living structure by yet smaller and more different types of taxes?
So the pro gas tax thing is that if I'm driving 1,000 miles a year and you're driving 100,000 miles a year, you should pay more for the roads. So we're just going to tax you on the gas you're using.
So they tax you everyone evenly.
So they tax everyone per mile driven, theoretically. Although if you got a gas guzzler, you're going to pay more.
You're talking about
the gas
per gallon.
Tax. Yeah, you pay tax per gallon of gas.
So then, when I renew my car registration, they'll charge you an extra fucking dollar or something. What is it? They charge you to offset the cost of people that don't have registration or some shit. This is the problem I have. Why the fuck do some people have to pay for somebody else when you already paid? And that's my argument about why does somebody who makes a lot of money, don't get me wrong, okay? I think that if you have a lot of money, you can afford more. I get that argument. I get it. But I think in this country, we've learned to blame the rich for everyone's fucking problems, right? There's this hatred, right? We talk about the top 1%, like those fucks. You know what I mean? The truth of the matter is this country is run by white men, okay? And white men hating other white men because they have 1%, you know, because they have all the money and they live on 1%. Why? You know what I mean? Why the hatred? It's like you're almost penalizing somebody for their success. If you look at it, I mean,
well, you're also penalizing them because you looked at where that 25 cents went and you didn't like it.
Right.
It didn't go to making better schools.
Because the taxation system is fucked up. That's why. And no one gets held accountable.
Well, and that's because people get fooled by things. That's because people get fooled by someone saying, hey, you don't have to pay taxes. Here's the thing. You know, Alex Trebek does an ad like, you can have insurance. You could be sick and dying and have insurance. And everyone goes, oh, I trust Alex Trebek. Well, that's not true. You can't be sick and dying and then go give someone a dollar and they give you $1,000 back. That's not going to happen. There's an ad out there for
if anybody is listening to my show
And I don't hate Alex Trebek.
And you believe that you don't have to pay taxes, I want you to unsubscribe from Nestorius Public Radio. Okay? I don't want you to be associated with this show. Okay? If anybody listening to my show believes any of that bullshit, do me a favor, unsubscribe to my show. All right? Or get 5 new subscribers, and then I'll let you stay on board. No. Listen. I think that, you know, one of the themes that I always go back to is responsibility. I think that one of the problems that we have in this country is lack of responsibility, right? So there are certain rules that apply for certain people, right? And certain people, they don't. And that could be applied to the taxation system with the people who have a lot more and the people who don't, right? Because the misconception is, or maybe the understanding is, that people who have a lot more money have access to a lot more write-offs, right?
Well, and they do. Because if you don't have very much money and Obama makes this great credit for you, you don't know about it.
Why shouldn't you know about it?
To school. Why would you know about it? Because you're not financially literate. You want to get people.
Why aren't you financial literate?
I am financially literate.
No. Why aren't you financial literate? Why?
Because we're paying
for
less
your
in
dumb
school.
Ass to go to school.
I got 40 kids in the school now because you aren't paying much in taxes.
Hold on.
You said, hey, I'm going to fund a lottery and I don't have to pay any more taxes.
I pay taxes so that a fucking school could be built in my community.
You did not pay taxes so the school could be built. You paid a little bit of taxes so the school could be built.
I paid taxes.
You paid taxes for the war. You paid taxes for a lot of things.
Right.
Very little of it went to school. None
Why?
Of them to the NEA.
Why?
You know?
If I own a house, my property taxes are supposed to go to the fire department, and they're supposed to go to to help offset the cost of the water pipes that are coming to my house, the sewage lines that are going to my house, and schools. So I'm paying taxes for my school. Why are my schools producing retards that don't know that Obama...
We've already given three good kids, you know.
That Obama has given us a tax break. Why?
So why would you know that? You didn't know that before today.
So then,
you think you're a smart guy. I mean, I think you're a smart guy. Did you know about that tax credit?
It doesn't apply to me, so I don't give a shit. Trust
it does
me,
apply to you. Do you have a bachelor's degree?
I do.
Okay, so it doesn't apply to you. But it applies. You still get 20%. If you have a bachelor's degree and you go back and take some classes, you get 20%. But
so if you
if you're
again,
sitting there, if you're
again.
55 years old and you want to take
if you
some
don't
classes,
have a bachelor's degree,
you get 100% of the first $1,000.
Okay.
As long as it's a real college.
So okay, this is perfect. All you guys that I said, if you believe you don't have to pay taxes, don't unsubscribe yet. Pay attention. So basically, what I want you to do is I want you to matriculate yourself, look up the word, to a local community college. Don't worry about whether you're going to get a degree or not. Just matriculate yourself. Spend the government's money. Spend $1,000 of their money. Fuck off. Don't worry about it. Take an accounting class.
Because you're going to be a business owner in the future, and you'll learn some accounting.
Okay, take an accounting class, all right? But you and I know that you're just going to fucking pick up some hookers in there, some girls, drink some free milk, and have some free lunches, all right? Wink, wink. All right. Save your receipts. Fucking fill out a tax return, even though you haven't worked a day in your life and you don't owe any money, and just get that refundable tax credit of $1,000 that we talked about
earlier.
And
you're not making any money. You spent $1,000 on school. You got the $1,000 back. Hopefully it made your life better.
All right, let me go back. Take a class, matriculate in school.
I got 2 more tips in the next 12 minutes, just so we're clear.
Okay, matriculate in school, take an accounting class, and you know what? You might be inspired to pursue a degree. And you have that $1,000 so you can get it, but you need to do that soon because it's probably only going to last till Obama's
in
office.
We'll see.
What are the other 2 tips? Thing.
So if you made less than $30,000, and you put money into a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA is a non-taxed IRA. You're saving for your future. From 20 to 30, and these aren't exact numbers, but from about $20,000 to $30,000, you're going to get a 10% credit for the first $2,000 you put in. So if you're going to start saving for your future, government likes you, they're going to give you 10% for the first $2,000. So they'll give you a $200 tax credit. If you made less than $20,000, it's almost going to wipe out your credit. I mean, wipe out your tax.
So if you make $30,000.
If you made $29,999.
For a year.
For a year.
As income.
Yeah. and you put $2,000 into a Roth IRA.
$29,000, $999.
It might be exactly $30,000.
If
honestly,
you make $29,999, you're not gonna have enough money to afford to pay $2,000.
Somebody's gonna have the money.
Yeah, if you have cocaine money, if your son's selling a lot of drugs, if you make $29,999, PK,
there are people who have the money. Every year I try to talk people into doing that.
Who the fuck can live on $30,000
a year?
It's
hard, but there are people, although people listening to your podcast, living on $30,000, people living on $22,000 a year, suddenly they get bumped up to 30. I'm saying put $2,000 into a Roth.
Wow.
So here's the thing with the Roth. So you save money now, it grows, and you save money when you take it out. Put $2,000 in, and that's one thing that, once again, nobody knows about.
Okay, there's a difference between a regular IRA, which is called a traditional IRA, and a Roth IRA.
Right.
So he's talking about a Roth IRA. If you don't know what that means, if you've made less than $30,000, between $20,000 and $30,000, go to a bank, ask them what a Roth IRA, and they'll tell you what the fucking tax credit is. They'll be able to tell you. This is going to be for next year anyway. So you have a whole year.
It's too late.
You have 363 days by the time you hear this to figure this out. What's the third... pointer.
What was the third? I forgot my third
pointer. If you
pointer.
Don't, I have a question. That
so here, actually, so this was not my third pointer, but I just get mad about people tricking people. So if with the Alex Trebek insurance thing, if you've got a kid, if you've got a family and you want insurance, get a 30-year term insurance.
Say that again.
So if you have a kid, if you have a family, if you want life insurance to help them, you get 30-year term insurance. The 30-year term insurance is going to be the cheapest if you get... I think it's about $250,000 is about $35 a month. And then, you know, if you die, your kid can go to college. Your wife doesn't have to marry some old guy. Life's good. If you're a woman, your kid can still go to college. You can set everything up with $35 a month. I would bet you can get term life insurance. Don't trust, some guy trying to trick you.
Before you do that, Google Chris Rock on life insurance, and he'll break it.
Does he tell you that? Or?
He'll break it down. No, he says it's fucked up. He says life insurance is a bunch of bullshit. I forgot how he puts it.
So here's the thing. So let's say you're $100 a month. You get $750,000 of life insurance.
Right.
You're $35. Mm-hmm. You're 35 years old. Mm-hmm. If you die in the next 30 years and you spend $100 a month, you spent... $12,000 times 30 is 360. Is that right?
$12,000 times
100,
30?
No, $1,200 times 30 is $36,000.
Okay.
So if you die by 65, for your $36,000, you've got $750,000. And if you live, hopefully you've been putting some money into that Roth IRA and you got enough money to cover yourself anyway. Either way, your family is covered.
PK, most people in this country don't even have enough money left over for toilet paper.
There are people who go from making $25,000 a year to $35,000 a year. I know. Hopefully they got some.
Which begs me the question, then something is wrong with our taxation system. It wasn't until I moved out to California here that I remember when California had the additional 1% tax that Los Angeles County imposed. That's 10%. That's 10% on any purchased item in Los Angeles, okay? Any goods, clothes, groceries, anything.
Not groceries.
10%. So that's in addition to the 64. That's out of your... Anyway, look.
Right, there's a lot of taxes. And it's crazy in California.
A lot of taxes.
California's got the highest...
It's a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
But so then, why not a flat rate tax system? Why don't you just say everybody pays a fucking flat rate and fire all the IRS... No one has to be worried about being audited.
Why not a tiered rate and still fire everyone and say, listen, it's just this percentage? And also, why not, if you're, just the average person, why not the IRS just figure out? So I'm pro that. If I'm going to lose work, I'm not unhappy about that. But if the IRS just figures out
your
taxes.
You'll probably find
it. I have something else I could do. But if you just have a W-2 mm-hmm. and the IRS is willing to figure out the credits also, so you can tell them I went to school.
Yeah.
But if the IRS has to figure your taxes, they're not going to figure the credits.
No. You wouldn't need credits because you pay a flat rate tax and school would be for free. That's it.
That would be great. And I don't think it has to be a flat rate. I think you could do a tiered rate tax and school would be for free.
That's fine.
That up to $100,000 is 25% and blah, blah, blah.
We should have like an all-you-can-eat buffet. You pay one fucking price and you live well. You study. You go to school well. You have good health care. That's it. What's all this bullshit that's been going on?
Here's what I'm going to argue against that, though.
Okay.
Say you buy a house. That's the American dream. I want you to get the tax benefit from buying a house.
Yes. Tell me.
So if you're going to go out and you're going to pay interest.
Right.
And the IRS is not going to charge you on the money that you're paying interest.
Right. Because
you're now becoming a stable, member of society. I mean, it's helping you out. It's helping everybody out. Mm-hmm. You buying that house.
Right.
So that goes
back to your school example, right?
Okay. You get a tax deduction for buying a house. And the guy in the apartment doesn't get the tax deduction.
What you're talking about is I can deduct my mortgage interest against my federal taxes.
Right.
Right? That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Perfect, because that's one of my questions.
Right, right.
Okay. So what's the advantage of, like, let's say I owe $200,000 on a house, right? My mortgage, let's say for argument's sake, is $1,600. $600, not even. Let's say $400 goes towards my principal, $1,200 goes to interest every month, let's say, for argument's sake. Now, that means 1,200 times 12 is the interest that I'm paying. I can deduct that money from my federal income taxes on my net for the year, right?
Right.
What's the advantage? Should I work towards paying my mortgage sooner so I don't have to pay interest? Or should I just say, let me just pay my regular monthly payment and fuck it. I'll just keep writing off the interest. Is the question clear?
The question is clear, and it's what would make you the happiest. So if you owned your house outright, mm-hmm. or if you had a mortgage payment that was $200 and that would make you happy, then do that. And if what would make you the happiest is to have more investments and to keep paying that, you could take that, say you got an extra $10,000 a year, and you could pay it towards investments, or you could pay down your house with it. You can decide whatever's going to make you the happiest. And I don't honestly.
So, but what happens then is if I take let's say I have that extra $10,000,
right,
and I put it towards my principal, right?
Right.
Now my interest rate per month in my mortgage payment is going to slightly get smaller, right?
So that your interest rate will probably stay the same, but the amount of interest you're paying is going to be
smaller. So $14,400 would have been that interest example that I just gave, right? $1,200 times 12 months, $1,440. So if I pay more towards my principal, the following months, the amount of money that I'm paying towards my interest, or that I'm being charged for the interest, is going to diminish slightly by a few cents.
Right.
So is it really worth it?
For me, it's not worth it. I'd rather have a mortgage payment and save more for retirement. But someone else would be much happier and sleep better at night if they paid down their house and they know that no matter what happens, their house payment's only $300 a month and Social Security is $1,000 a month, they're covered. So whatever makes you the happiest.
But forget happiness, because in America we're conditioned to.
There's not an answer for this.
There's no answer, but there is an answer, right? Because accounting wise, numbers wise, there is an answer, right?
So number wise, the answer is that the stock market's going to yield. You're going to pay 4% on your house, and really you're going to get a deduction that's going to be like a third of that probably.
Right.
So you're going to end up paying 2.67% on your house.
Okay.
After the tax benefit. And if you put that money, if you took that $10,000 and invested it in the stock market, over time, you're going to make more than that. This year, you might not make more than that.
Over time,
if you just put that money
in Coca-Cola,
GE, etc., S&P 500 fund, over time, you're going to make more than that.
That's what I would do. Right.
But if you're happier...
No, we're not talking about happy here. We're talking, you're an accountant, you're a CPA. We're trying to think of what's more lucrative for you as an individual taxpayer.
The math says one thing.
Keep the extra $10,000.
Yeah.
Don't put it towards your principal for your mortgage and invest it somewhere that's going to yield you a higher interest over a long period of time. Okay. Well, that's pretty much where I was coming from. So anyway, we smoked out the time fast.
Right.
The episode went through. Do you have a website? I mean, if anybody wants to
I don't
tax
have a
advice,
website.
You want people, you have an email, a tax, an email that maybe somebody wants
so
to send
my
you?
Email is hammondcpa@gmail.com. HAMMONDCPA@gmail.com. I give you tax advice. I can point you in their idea of a good bookkeeper. If you're doing business in L.A., you need an L.A. city business license. If you're making less than 100 grand, that's free. So I could put you in some touch with somebody who knows how to do that. There's a lot of little taxes, but there really are a lot of programs that help out small people trying to get along. The SBA has nice business loans for small people. Everyone should have 30-year fixed-rate mortgages, I think, you know, and 30-year term life insurance policies. And just, I mean, you can really make a nice, stable life for yourself in the U.S. by doing things right and paying the right amount of taxes and sleeping well at night. And so that's my pitch.
But you got to do your research.
You got to do your research. And if anyone says, I'm going to give you something free, the IRS has got a special program for you today where you're going to get some free money, that guy's lying to you. You know,
you got to do your research and you got to find out the information for yourself and then take the right action based on that. All right. So thank you so much, PK. Real quick, we're coming up on our 100th episode of Nestorius Public Radio, a huge landmark, a huge milestone. I want you to go to iTunes. I want you to go to NPR, Nestorius Public Radio. Leave a review, 4 stars or better. Take a screen grab of it. Email it to me at Nestorius@yahoo.com. I'm going to be sending you a T-shirt with the number to PK so that you can get some free tax advice. No,
lots of free tax advice this time of year.
I'm going to have some T-shirts, Nestorius Public Radio. Do that. Hook us, like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/ Nestorius Public Radio. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Thursday. Big up.
Encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit.